Good afternoon and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson, and you're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM and streaming live from the studios in Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin. You know, this is a food show, but you know, I've branched quite a bit into other topics like gardens and seeds and food enterprises, and also we all have added a farming show the last Saturday of the month in the place of Who's in the Kitchen called Digging Deep, and where we really go into farming and the source of food and food policy and so forth. But today is it's very exciting for me because we are, I have two guests in the studio who are going to be talking about an event that's coming up on January 18th in Gays Mills, a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Kickapoo Exchange Food Co-op, which was really the first food co-op in this area and represents a huge movement across the country of food co-ops. And so this is a chance for us to just, you know, really reacquaint ourselves with the cooperative movement and what it meant for food. And now we kind of assume there's going to be a food co-op probably in every major city and maybe small towns. But anyway, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary. And so there'll be lots of events on Saturday in the late afternoon on January 18th. And so my guests here are Mary Root from Gays Mills. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Gays Mills Soldiers Grove.
Yes.
Right.
Glad to be here.
And Kaya DeShane, who is partly from Minnesota, but is living near Reedstown right now and has a son who is a resident of this area, Jesse Downs. And so welcome to you, Kaya.
Thank you.
And these are two very active members of the current Kickapoo Exchange Food Co-op. And let's talk about what Kickapoo Exchange meant. I mean, that's one way to start. What was the idea of it? Neither one of you were really here at the beginning, but so maybe I should comment because I was here at the beginning. I came in 1970, and we're celebrating from 1975 to 2025. 50 years. I just can't believe it. So there were a lot of back to the landers that came to this area, and one of the places that they settled largely was around Gays Mills. I really don't know why. Oh, I think we had to do with apple picking. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were attracted to, working in the apple orchards. And it was almost like a rite of passage. Have you picked apples there, you know? So that's probably one of the reasons that we settled there. And, you know, property was affordable at that time. But, of course, everything has just gone up in price. But we bought our land for $100 an acre. Oof. So, then you know, things have just really changed since that time. But we were all really pretty poor, and we had this goal of kind of moving away from city and suburban life and learning how to do things from scratch. Building your own house and your own driveway and making your own garden and things like that. And along with that came the idea of having a source for food that was whole, that was real, and organic. So these movements kind of came about around the same time. And so food buying co-ops popped up in the 70s, and they were just cooperative groups, people just living in a certain geographical area would say, let's buy 100 pounds of wheat and divide it up, or a bag of flour, or it was mostly non-perishables. We kind of started with just bags of stuff.
And then beans and rice.
Beans and rice. And, you know, we were all, that's what we were into eating. And so then they would come on a certain day, and they'd be stored somewhere, and everybody would come and divvy them all up into other sacks and so forth. And if you know about the Kickapoo, the Driftless co-option, which is still going here in Viroqua, it was the same kind of idea where you would source food as wholesomely as you could, and then repackage it and divide it up. And volunteers. So the idea was we would get some property in Gay's Mills downtown, and we would have a co-op where we would order food. It would be open like a store, and people could come in and get mainly whole grains, beans, rice, flour, sugar, honey, things like that. And but the idea in the beginning also was to have it be a community center, and that's kind of where the Kickapoo Exchange came. I'm not sure exactly how we decided on that name, but just the idea that we could have square dances, we could have concerts, we could show movies, we could have a little library, we could have a daycare center, and we had a free clothing exchange. You could just bring your clothes, drop them off, somebody washed, ironed them, and hung them up, and then some other people could come and just, you know, get clothes for free. It was a very lovely idea, and it really thrived, and it was in downtown Gay's Mills. And that was the beginning. And then at some point, and I'm not sure about the date, but after moving to a couple of different locations, we actually built a building. And that's one of the reasons there is so much devotion to this co-op. It was handmade by the members of the co-op. We had some very excellent builders, stonemasons and tile layers and carpenters. And we had a kitchen and at a dance room for square dancing, and held all kinds of events, and did events for Gay's Mills. So I'm doing a lot of this at the beginning because Kaya and Mary were not part of that original founding, and I was, but then I got kind of oriented toward Viroqua for a while and wasn't so involved in the Kickapoo Exchange, but I, you know, it's always been in my heart. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how we got going and what we believed in, and then how we really, things happened in history that affected our community. So, Mary, you said you got here in the 70s, or no,
86. I got here in 86.
Right.
I came out of Madison, Wisconsin, which was, of course, a hotbed of
All
kinds of...
Well, Willie Street was like the location to go to.
Yeah.
They were our model. And it was like a real grocery store.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
but
there were many small food co-ops in Madison to begin with, and the major distributor, North Farm, which was a cooperative, also arose in Madison area. So... that whole system was based in co-ops to begin with. So that was the model that brought around this whole movement too.
So what does a co-op really signify? How is it different from a regular business enterprise?
The co-op is owned by the membership, and the membership runs the co-op. Now, there are boards sometimes and other actual legal entities that are set up to run things depending on how big or small you are. So, yeah, even in the beginning, many co-ops were highly volunteer. Mm-hmm. And so was the Kickapoo Exchange, was begun by volunteers, people who just wanted this to happen. And gradually over time, it did develop into more of a business with a building and
paid manager, and
a paid manager came somewhere along the way too, but even the manager was not called a manager. We were called coordinators. So we worked with language, and we worked with ideas, and we were more than a business for sure. And the principles that run co-ops are not the same as what a lot of American business looks like. So it challenges you to keep certain values that don't look like good business in America, right?
Right.
So we have to decide why we're doing these things. Why do we bother? Because you can get the same food elsewhere, sometimes much cheaper. Not always, though. Not always cheaper. Sometimes you have a local spot like the Kickapoo mm-hmm. Exchange that has some great local products mm-hmm. at the best prices ever. Ha! Anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. And that so some of the principles were we really did want to be organic. We tried to locate organic things. And as you say, and if anybody wants to read the grocery story, it's a wonderful story, a book about the food, just food in America and how, you know, what kind of policies and ideologies or something, you know, lie behind it. And there's a nice long chapter on the food co-op movement, which is really to have more control, local control, buyer control of food and finding sources. And like you say, the suppliers of food co-ops were also cooperatively owned. And we tended to have the same ideals. And in fact, we had, it used to be if you went to a co-op, they'd say, do you belong to a co-op? And if you did, you got a membership discount, even though you were just visiting. And that doesn't seem to really apply so much anymore.
We still do that.
Oh, you do that. But yeah. I was just up in La Crosse and nobody asked me.
That is actually a co-op principle. That is one of the co-op right. principles, that you honor other cooperative memberships.
Right. And so, yeah.
Another principle is that there's care for the community and interface with the community in a co-op. And I remember my earliest experiences in a co-op were standing at the bulletin board looking for rides or looking for childcare help or looking for free furniture or, you know,
right.
A place to crash for a visitor.
That's part of the exchange, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, people had services, a lot of bartering, and really not, it was pretty much anti-capitalistic. I mean, wouldn't you say? A different model, not profit-oriented. If we could just, you know, pay for what we were doing with volunteer help, that was a success. And it was definitely a community endeavor. And there was a big movement in Richland Center. Richland Center once had a very, very active co-op and that same kind of community spirit. And most of those people have left. There's a few people in Richland Center, but most left the area. But they put on some amazing events in the area at one time. And then there were several food buying clubs north of here. I think it was Hub City, but I'm not really sure. But then Viola had a co-op, and then eventually Viroqua got a little co-op, and people remember this little place in a basement of a farm building near Nelson's Ag Center. And they sold eggs and potatoes and, you know, and it was had like one aisle and a cooler. And then eventually they built a co-op here. And that really drew a lot of people, as Viroqua was drawing people through various things, including Pleasant Ridge School and various different educational, you know, endeavors here. We're drawing people from outside of the community. And so the Viroqua Food Co-op became quite popular. But really amazingly, there goes the Kickapoo Exchange, just year after year, providing services more to Crawford County and Southern Vernon County, and keeping on with their goals. And then came some challenges. Well, we started in some old buildings that we just rented in Viroqua, in Gaze Mills, and I think that one of them had a fire.
There was, I think, two fires.
Maybe there were. One was in an old funeral
home. When I came in 86, we owned the building on Main Street where the co-op was, and mm-hmm. that was an old storefront, a wooden storefront.
Yeah.
And we, at that time, did have quite a bit of bulk and bulk bins and coolers. We didn't do too much produce yet, and that came a little bit later. Perishables were hard to jump into too far, and besides which, many people produced a lot of their own food for fruits and vegetables at home, so It was a really different kind of clientele that was active there at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was still many people who had come back and built their own homes and lived off the grid, lived without electricity. Many still were doing that there and still are actually today with solar, electrical, and so forth. So,
and our co-op also has solar on the roof that was donated by one of the members.
Yeah.
So we mm-hmm. still...
It has been really forward-looking and environmentally concerned, and, mm-hmm. You know, it just draws that kind of
we heat with
that
wood,
values that.
Using
with
a wood. Masonry heater.
Yeah. And so I'm talking with Mary Root and Kaya DeShane about the Kickapoo Exchange upcoming 50th anniversary celebration on January 18th. It'll start at 5 p.m. with food, of course.
Soup supper.
Yes. And then there'll be a silent auction, and the money is going to go mainly toward building a really updated kitchen in the co-op so that we can have, food service again. And then there'll be a dance at the Old Community Hall, which is across the street from the co-op on Main Street, and that'll be from 7 to 11, and there'll be concert with the Freaks of Nature. And I'm hoping there will be lots of old-timers that come back for this celebration. I can't believe it's 50 years. It just, seems like it just hasn't seemed that long. But I guess I was in my early 30s. We were really young, and we were going to build our own houses and our own driveways, and we talked about gravel and manure, and, it was really a time of do-it-yourself. And so the co-op idea was do it yourself too, learn how to do it, learn how to order food, learn how to keep books, learn how to do this stuff, and also to build our own building, which we did in Gaze Mills. And a beautiful building it is, and I hope people will be able to come down and see it, because it's just really architecturally a very, very lovely place. So this building got built, and there were lots of activities there. And then came floods, and of course everybody, if you've lived out here, there's just periodic floods of the Kickapoo River, which affect all of these just little river towns from Ontario all the way down to, what's the last one, Waseca, all the way down the Kickapoo. And different towns would be just terribly devastated. And the last flood, what was the one?
2018.
That was the one that moved us out of Gaze Mills. It was higher than a flood had ever been, and people had to run there in the middle of the night and try to get food off of the floor and everything up above water level. But, you had coolers and machines.
Hot water heaters.
And heaters and
stoves.
That just got flooded, and it just got ruined. I mean, anybody who goes through a flood, no, it's not just clean water. It's mud and muck and chemicals and all sorts of things. And so it really pollutes wherever you are, and it pollutes the ground. So you can't even, have a vegetable garden, because the water has polluted the ground. So at that point, we were able to get, in the flood reconstruction period, a new Gaze Mills town was started up the hill on Highway 131. And we were able to rent a space in this new building. And so we must have spent, I don't know how many years there. Do you know how long we were there? I mean,
from 18 to 24.
Okay.
That's it. 18 to 24.
Yeah. And so it was, it was changing. We were rising to the occasion, and sometimes the co-op was really kept going by donations of people, large donations. It wasn't always, certainly wasn't profit-making, and sometimes it was just breaking even, and sometimes some people came through with $1,000 donations just to keep us afloat. And we had moved toward a paid manager at that point, or coordinator. And we had a board, And some of the time I wasn't involved that much because I was more in the Viroqua area. But then there, you know, became long, long meetings, many, many meetings over the years about what we were going to do in the long run. And it had to do with location. And what would you say the other issues were? I mean, were we even going to... We were getting an aging membership and kind of a smaller membership, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out, is this an enterprise that can continue?
And in the face of the organic food movement, making organic food available in so many locations, we were wondering, is this redundant? Or are people going to go where the food is cheapest? Or should we keep our little store, our local store, our home for our community?
Mm-hmm. That was an issue. And the thing is, we owned that old building, and we had people like...
very attached to the building.
Builders who, you know, who are attached to the building. I'm just trying to drink up the name. But anyway, people who rebuilt the co-op, refinished the floor, put in new walls. Todd Osmond, I'm talking about, and many other carpenters and woodworkers and people who volunteered many, many hours to restore the old co-op so that we could have a business there. And at one time we thought, well, maybe we'll run it out for other businesses. But always hanging over us was, when will be the next flood? And so we were owning a building, paying taxes on it, everything, and also having a new building that we were renting from the town of Gaze Mills. And so, you know, we were kind of paying for two buildings, and we had many, many meetings over many, many different issues of why the co-op should continue, or maybe see if its time was out and we should just stop having the co-op. And so, quite recently, I think one of the turning points was...
So, in lieu of making a decision which required a consensus decision, decision was made. And the next few days, the people who really wanted to see the co-op continue showed up.
Rose up,
came forward, and did what was needed to keep the co-op going. And from that time on, we have been a wholly volunteer crew down there, except for our bookkeeper, yay, Nan. And so we're circling back, in some sense, to where we started and to what some original co-ops have been. And we are, in a sense, graduating into what a co-op might be, because it requires great commitment and determination and a common mission among at least the people who are at the heart of it to say, is this mission worth our time and effort? So once you decide that, magic can happen, because if you get even a small group of committed people around a mission, they can rise above our individual spats and fighting fear and wondering, and can we do it, and I don't want to learn the computer and all that stuff. And you decide you're going to do what you can to do it. And you do that because you wonder if there is any value in this mission at all. And the value, you have to determine, has to be beyond just having a food co-op, a food place.
Or a financially viable model.
That's right. And so here we are. We're trying to get a little kitchen going so we can have some more parties and some more music and some more people learning things that we know now after 50 years of Back to the Lander movement, because we know a lot. And we have some important things to share with the community yet.
And the young ones
are so awesome, and we love them, and we want them to come back around and grow up in the co-op like our children have. Anyway.
And I'm kind of a nerd, philosophical nerd, and what really, like, sparked my heart at the time when we were the lowest and we were even talking about closing the co-op and renting the building out to a different business, was this one person, Joan Francis, came up and with this concept that she called the flat circle management concept, and drew it on a piece of paper, and it was just like this aha, you know, moment for me, because it's all these teams that work together in a really beautiful kind of harmonious way, and each team has a representative that then meets regularly, and we call that the coordinating team. And we started, that's how we started, we would meet at the library in Gaze and draw these pictures out, and, you know, people just step forward to be the original, you know, members of these teams. And that enabled us to move back into our building in March and have this goal of being, rising to this occasion and actually proving that a volunteer group could run the store as well as or maybe better than a paid coordinator could. Because there was a history of our paid coordinators burning out because the business has so many angles to it, and it's hard to hold up all those balls as one person. And now we have a group that's growing all the time of really creative, energetic people of all ages who are bringing their skills forward, and they're it's pretty exciting place right now, actually, to work at.
Well, I started working, and I haven't done very much, but I did start volunteering down at the co-op again, and I just felt a completely new, refreshing energy. So fun. It's all friends. We're all friends. And you see your friends, sometimes they're behind the counter, you know, ringing up the groceries, or they're, you know, pouring grains into containers, or they're moving stuff off of a truck. And everybody's working there, and we're all equal. So I like that idea. I really kind of miss the circle planning thing, and I'm very interested in that. But you feel this wonderful committed energy from the people who are there, and when you just come in to shop, people are just so welcoming. It's just very different from going to a regular grocery store.
Yeah, that's
yeah. And that's how the co-op was supposed to feel, I thought, you know.
And most co-ops do not offer the ability to volunteer your time.
Yeah,
and we need to get more volunteers.
But we have great discounts for volunteer labor, so it's not like you're just volunteering your time.
Right.
You get a great discount for your labor.
That was the old policy.
Yes.
You know, you did work, but you got groceries.
And that's not an option at most co-ops today
across
the country.
Also, we learned how much work it was to do this and how it was, like you say, falling on one person who was getting really, really bogged down and discouraged by how much work they had to do. And a lot of it was on the computer and ordering and stuff like that. And we have somebody today that does most of that. And are we trying to split that up now?
It's not just one person.
Oh,
we have
probably
three or four people ordering now.
So. And one of our goals is to order things, you know, from local suppliers if we can. We don't just want to get things from California. This is another thing we really believe in, is having produce that's locally produced if we can. And then you learn that you have transportation problems and things like that. It's just kind of silly to buy something, you know, that's produced 4 miles away and it has to be trucked all the way to Minneapolis and back and things like that. You just become aware of how you can coordinate different aspects.
And it encourages other young entrepreneurs and people interested in producing food to develop businesses that can supply us. Like we have mushrooms, shiitakes, and other, you know, mycology
growers
and local
bakers and produce
and a lot of the members also bring their excess produce in and donate it basically for resale. And we also restructured our whole markup so that we now have cheaper prices. A lot of people used to come into the co-op and kind of turn away because they could not afford the groceries because of our markups. Being a small business, we do not get the deals that the larger stores and co-ops get for truck lots and stuff like that. We just can't buy that much each time we order. So we have that challenge as a small store. We can't get things as cheaply as the big stores.
But now you've found some ways to mark down some of the prices so it's more competitive.
Well, we just decreased our markup, so.
Yes, on almost every category. And so we are competing quite well in some areas.
No, that's really encouraging to hear, because that's one thing, cheese or yogurt or something like that, and you go, I could get it cheaper someplace else, and you probably can.
Nope.
So
we got our dairy from our local suppliers, Organic Valley and Westby Creamery, and we pick it up directly and bring it directly back. And
that's another way people can volunteer is transportation of goods. Yep. So if you go back and forth between Lafarge or, Westby, and you can bring products that otherwise, would have to be transported separately. I mean, this is the old idea of a co-op, right? Working cooperatively. So I'm talking with, I might recognize their voices, Mary Root from the Gays Mill Soldiers Grove area and Kaya DeShane from around Reedstown. And they are talking with us about the upcoming 50th anniversary of the Kickapoo Exchange Food Co-op in Gays Mills, operating pretty much continuously. I mean, it never stopped, really, even during the flood.
Right.
This is a slight interruption, but I mean, we found
just a couple
ways to keep going and got through. And now some people never even got to our new location, which was in the new newly built part of Gays Mills. But now we are back in our original, hand-built, beautiful home on the main street of Gays Mills, and it's really worth coming down. And maybe you can tell what our hours are so that people know that they can find the co-op open. Do you know exactly?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, 11 to 5:30.
11 to 5:30. Okay. So not early morning. 11 to 5:30. It's very challenging doing a food store because some people want to shop really early,
or
after work, and you're trying to meet the needs of everybody. But also, you're limited workers and what time they have and how many hours they can put in. So the Kickapoo Exchange is actively going in Gays Mills and is, of course, celebrating their 50th anniversary. It will start at 5 p.m. with a soup and bread supper, and then it will just move on to dancing and other activities, music, and at the community hall. And you're listening to Who's in the Kitchen, coming from Viroqua, 91.9 FM community radio from the ground up, and coming from the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin. And so we just want to keep on talking about the food co-op and what kind of things that we offer now at the food co-op that you can, do we do anything but food, and what do we have in the way of food?
Oh, we carry Lusa products. It's one of my favorite local businesses.
These are organic healthcare.
Health and beauty products.
Health and beauty,
And I would like to talk about the volunteer opportunities we have at the co-op, too. But we can skip back and go. We have a beautiful bulk section, and we do...
Meaning what?
We have beans, grains, rice, sugar...
Flowers.
You can get...
baking items.
Olive oil in bulk. You can get vanilla and soy sauce in bulk. You can get...
Honey, local honey.
And laundry products.
Spices.
And cleaning products.
Yeah, we carry Soap Sister soap, which is made here in Viroqua at County Seat Laundry.
Yep.
And I can say that the Viroqua, that
physiology,
that the Gaze Mills Food Co-op had really very early was interested in voiding plastic and finding alternatives to plastic and just food packaging. It's a huge problem in the food industry. And as you can see, it's getting more and more packaged in plastic that you just throw away. And we know plastic isn't even healthy for us. And it's becoming a huge problem. And very early on, the Kickapoo Exchange really worked hard to, you know, bring your own containers and shop with cloth shopping bags and don't expect everything to be packed up in plastic, which is really great. So there's a lot of bulk food, and some people aren't used to bulk food. You have to weigh it and things like that. But the volunteers help you out.
You have to sprout it and grind it.
Sprout it and grind it.
And soak it and cook it.
Well, then you need to know how
to
cook.
That's why we want our kitchen to be running so we can have classes and really...
how to use those bulk foods.
Fulfill that other principle, which is to share the knowledge. And I think the best way is to actually do it with people.
Mm. And the funnest way, of course, also is to cook together.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I mean, I really pick that message up and that feeling in the co-op. It's fun and it's full of love.
Just so you know, the soups coming up on Saturday are all homemade by us in groups and individuals and awesome ingredients. You are going to be surprised at how good it's going to be.
Yep, that's one of my New Year's resolutions, is more soup. More soup, more walks.
Well, for a while,
more
we
music.
We did have soup at the co-op when we were in the old building. We did have a kitchen, and we... you could come in for soup, and you could come in for coffee, and it would be a place to eat. There are not too many places in Gaze Mills to drop in and have a bite to eat. Then in our new building, we really did not have a qualified kitchen, and that was a disappointment to us. So now that we're back in the old building, we really want to make a really nice, functional kitchen. At one time, we had a little restaurant down there. So
Watercress
we want to be able to do
cafe.
That or offer that as an opportunity for an entrepreneur to come in, have a coffee shop or something like that. And, it contributes to the whole community. It's a wonderful community place. And poor Gaze Mills has really suffered so much. All these little towns, Viola, Reedstown, Lafarge, have really, really suffered from the flooding. And it's hard to come back again after a flood. And
Since we moved back down to Main Street, businesses on either side are going again.
I am
and
glad
so
to hear that.
So don't forget that there's going to be greenhouse opportunities right next
really?
Door.
Really? Oh.
And,
yes, because there was a thriving greenhouse. And
Julia's sewing and notion shop next door. She's going to have some great workshops helping people learn how to sew and put things together from scratch.
And she has thankfully taken on the task of providing a free clothes closet in her space, because we are selling so much product now, we need our whole store. We don't have the back room anymore available for the free clothes at this point. We're using it for cold storage. And so
she has them.
She does, and she's right next door. So
yep.
And she'll have hours, and she's kind of doing a grand opening on the 18th. To kind of dovetail with the other celebration.
Oh, that's
so you can come
really
down and get a
news.
Costume for the dance, maybe. That was always a fun stop for me in all the years when I first came down to Gaze. I first came down for the Mother's Day Festival of Music and Dance when my son was like 15. He wanted to come down here because he was learning to play the fiddle, and we came down, and I always loved shopping at the co-op, shopping at the greenhouse for my starts, and then going to the music festival for the weekend.
Yes, the co-op has always, I mean, even if they didn't have a physical space for a while, they did contribute to the festivities of Gaze Mills and the Apple Festivals and then, you know, just different festivals throughout the year. cooking food, serving food, and, you know, just being a wonderful community presence there. And so I'm so glad to hear that it's helping other businesses in Gay's Mills, because it's the new town has moved, and it will be a while before that really feels like a town. There is a grocery store, and there are small businesses, but it just doesn't have that main street feel of just walking down the street and going. And so that's going to take a while. There are residences there that were badly, badly needed. But of the old Gay's Mills, which is kind of two miles away and closer to the river, it really was hit hard. And almost everybody had to raise their buildings in order to even, you know, get insurance or anything. So, you know, the danger of flooding is, you know, always kind of threatening. But so if you would drive through Gay's Mills now, it's kind of reviving. It's reviving with small businesses and places to eat and drink. And so I'm so glad that the co-op can do that. I remember when we first opened 50 years ago, people in the local community were afraid to come into the food co-op. I mean, we looked different. Just think of those days, the 70s. And the women all wore long skirts, and the men all had long hair and beards, and we looked really weird, and it just didn't fit in with the local community, and they really didn't feel comfortable coming in. And then you come in, and the food isn't packaged the way it's supposed to be, and you have to go measure things out, and there was whole grains that people didn't even know how to cook, and it just seemed so foreign. Now, you know, having been there for 50 years, we do have much more local support. And I think if it's helping to grow the community, we'll have a whole different presence there. As, you know, we are a grocery store. We are a grocery store down in the downtown area.
Well, the whole area has changed significantly. And so the people who are becoming members of Kickapoo Exchange now are new folks in the area, because there's lots of folks coming in from all over the place. And happily, many people are still happy to have a co-op around and a place to get organic and natural foods, mm-hmm. Where they don't have to run too far.
And a place where they can trade their work for yep. dollars mm-hmm. for yep. food. Yep. And so I'm going to circle back to the opportunities for volunteering. You don't just have to staff the store. You can come in and be a behind-the-scenes worker bee. We have lots of little opportunities that have to do with cleaning and stocking and sorting and labeling. But if you do work 4 hours a month, you get a discount of 10%. And if you work 8 hours, you get an 18% discount. And if you work more than that, you can get the Kex Lover discount, which is 26%. And most of the coordinating team works to get that discount. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like that idea, because when I started volunteering, I felt like you have to know how to do everything there, and you might be there alone. And I just felt like I'm not that good on the cash register. And then, you know, if I get interrupted or something goes wrong with somebody's credit card, I don't know what to do and I need help. And then I have to go package, but I have to weigh and I have to. There's just so many things. And I'm glad to hear that it's being divided up into smaller. You know, you could come and do something you feel comfortable with every time. And you don't have to be at the cash register or you know. Somebody who's used to meeting the delivery trucks can do that, and they feel confident, and it's not somebody that just feels like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I love the idea of splitting it up and spreading it out so nobody has to do a gargantuan amount of work or go in and feel like, I don't feel competent at this, I don't know what I'm doing. So I think coordinating the volunteers that way is absolutely wonderful, and it really contributes to the joy and fun of being in a co-op.
Yeah, the two other jobs that just came to me as you were speaking are being on the board. I'm going to say that one first. And also doing the grounds or the outdoor environment of the co-op. We have a lot of herbs and perennials, and we need help keeping them under control and harvested and used.
It is a beautiful outdoor space, and I hope people can come down and visit and see. Of course, we're in the middle of the winter, but gardens and beds and everything have been built, and there's a beautiful patio. Just in, when you see the handwork that went into there and the thought, obviously people who do garden, you know, planned that space. So there's patio space not only in the front but in the back. And, you know, there's just still so much potential. And it's just lovely to see that the hand of man and woman has been there, you know, planning it and making it a beautiful space. It's very aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm just so impressed with the taste and beauty of the inside and the outside of the co-op.
And as a member, you can also use the space. You can use the back room for free for events that your family might have, like
the birthday party,
birthdays, wedding suppers, baby showers. We've had nonprofits come in and talk about their work, and you can also rent the space for a couple hours or half a day or an evening for your own classes for a fee.
Mm-hmm.
So come down and check it out. Oh, we also have a consignment area that's pretty lovely. So if you are looking for pottery or sewn items or print cards or anything like that, we have several artists that are selling their wares.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds really good. Something crossed my mind and went away, but
let's talk about the kitchen team.
Okay.
There's a new team that's been formed.
Okay.
Around this idea of getting our kitchen certified, and Mary's spearheading that.
Here we go. Yeah, we were lucky enough to have four or five folks step forward out of who knows where to have all their restaurant and food experience to help us design our new kitchen and research spaces and equipment and decide what we're going to do there and how we're going to do it and what is it going to cost. So it's going to go forward in a good way, and this fundraiser event here is going to help us put that into place. The other new thing that we're exploring, lest you think we're just a bunch of old fogies, which we sort of are, but we're looking at a new scanning system for our retail part of the business that can interface in a more simple and clear way to reduce labor and upgrade our processes with the finances. So all that is also being explored as we speak and will take us into the modern age a little better and make things work well for our volunteers and our members. So we can always use help with people who have that kind of expertise in business.
Right.
And in computers. And we are
marketing.
So grateful, marketing, for everyone's lovely experience in their life. And we look for people's best skills that they're bringing to us to use them, not just to run the store, but to look into the future and see where we're headed and what we want to do and who's around and what exchange is possible in this world.
So if one wants to know more what's going on at the co-op, they have a newsletter that comes out fairly frequently,
monthly.
Maybe monthly. And so how can you get on that? Do you know?
Becoming a member, you maybe we should talk about that now.
Okay.
There is a membership fee of $25. And then you can give more if you're able.
For a year?
Per year.
That seems pretty
per
reasonable.
Per household.
And you then can have a vote in our meetings, and you also get the newsletter monthly. If you wish, you just put your contact on the membership card when you come in to the co-op.
And you get 2% on all your sales.
Right.
Off.
And then you are also able then to volunteer more hours for a bigger discount.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there'll be an opportunity at the
anniversary
for people to sign up.
Becoming a member or renewing their membership. Or volunteering
mm-hmm. or offering donations. And are you looking for particular donations, like for the kitchen?
Well, we wouldn't turn away any donation, and we would consider it to see mm-hmm. if it would work with what we're planning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the silent auction is a huge way that we fundraise. We have them periodically, and this one the focus is the kitchen. So we're still accepting donations for the silent auction.
Where would you bring those?
You can bring them straight to the co-op, or they could be picked up. Just call our number, which is 608-735-4544, and we can arrange a pickup if the donation needs to be picked up.
So you might accept jewelry, you might accept any kind of handmade things.
Artwork. Cool, funky objects that you don't have a room for anymore, but someone else might appreciate.
And services, like massage
sure.
and bed and breakfast rentals and all kinds of things. People find out really cool things going on in the community from things that are offered on a silent auction. And then they get to, you know, experience it.
Right? It's so cool. I went into the fabric store to buy some fabric to make some aprons for the event. And the woman at the fabric store said, "Oh, what are these aprons for?" And I told her. And she said, "Well, I would like to donate, you know, an hour of, you know, horse therapy."
Oh.
I'm like, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
What a cool exchange.
Yes, that's great. I hear there's going to be T-shirts and sweatshirts and various things that are being silk screened and with a new design for the co-op.
Right.
Good.
They might not be available on the 18th, but soon thereafter.
Oh, that just sounds like
fun. We also
have
bumper stickers.
Yeah.
And we'll be celebrating all year long with
right.
various events throughout the
good
each month
2025 yeah. year. So look
you...
for more fun things
yeah.
coming down.
And yeah, if you can't come on Saturday, you would be able to come and experience the co-op in some other way. And
right.
Everybody's welcome. Remind us of the hours of the food co-op.
Okay. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday from 11 to 5:30. So we're closed only 2 days. Well, we're closed
yeah.
Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
But I want to also say the hours of our event again, because on Saturday from 5 to 7, you can have the soup supper, and there will be an old-time jam going on mm-hmm. as well, which kind of we're known for. Our suppers usually have either an old-time jam happening or an Irish jam happening, usually.
And some kid activities
yes,
as well.
Yes, some children's
wow.
activities.
Yes,
so.
Always children. Always children are paid attention to at the co-op.
And a fire outside. You can stand around outside and jaw with each other.
And then later on, there's dancing across the street.
Right.
Actually
and
called...
At 7, there's a band called Low Hanging Fruit. They're opening for the Freaks of Nature, which are a beloved band in our community. And they will come on at 8 to 11, and the silent auction will be going from 5 o'clock to 7 in the co-op, and then from 8 to 11 at the community center during the music event.
Mm-hmm. So plan to donate to the silent auction and plan to come and buy something there.
And food will be available all night as well.
Yeah. So I have just so much enjoyed talking with these gals who have been involved for many years in the food co-op in Gays Mills called the Kickapoo Exchange, or KEX. If you see KEX, that stands for the Kickapoo Exchange. And some of you in Viroqua area might want to check out the Kickapoo Exchange. You actually turn right when you get to Reedstown and go south. Go through Gays Mills to the main street. A lot of my friends don't even know there's a co-op there. And I mean, we need to really let people know that we're there. It smells and looks and feels like the real old-fashioned type of co-op.
Yep.
And as we say, our prices are getting to be more in line with the with food prices around the area, and because we have had the challenge of buying in smaller quantities, and that's one of the things you learn about business: the more you can buy in bulk, the better price range you can give. And so, but having it and mainly a volunteer organization has really brought new life to the co-op, the Kickapoo Exchange, and we hope you'll come down and
Party. Celebrate.
Our little home.
You
want to see us.
You want us to wear crazy clothes and feel costumes
the love.
And
well,
feel
you
the
know,
love.
I was thinking the 70s vibe, 75-ish.
Get your hippie clothes out, everybody.
Oh,
we know you got them.
Yeah, bring old photos too. It'll be fun to see some of the old timers, and I hope some of the people that have moved away will come back and join this celebration. So thank you so much for being on Who's in the Kitchen, Kaya DeShane and Mary Root. And I'm Philothea Beeson, and you've been listening to Who's in the Kitchen. And we're on every Saturday at noon and the last Saturday of the month, Digging Deep, our farming show. So thanks so much for tuning in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Okay.